Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location. Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It seems like we are ready for NFL action, and this is the place to be right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's the early line. It's Thursday morning. Tonight, we will be watching live NFL action from Arrowhead Stadium, live, the Chiefs and the Ravens. And we got a lot to get to over the next 3 hours of the show. Donnie Wrightside, BSS Ben, I got to bring you in, man. I know you're excited. I know you were doing your calisthenics in the background, but we have a TV show to get after. Are you ready to be on the TV show? Are you ready to participate? Are you ready for NFL football here?
No, it's tough, Donnie Wrightside, when you walk in after an off day, refreshed and ready for the first NFL game of the season, and all of a sudden you are taken off the show. I have no idea if it's...
Look, I'm telling you, we are so excited today. We are false starting all over the place, and it's just fine for us because we have an exciting action-packed show over the next 3 hours you're not going to want to miss out on. The design of today's show is not only to get you ready for the NFL opener tonight, it's to set the table for Friday night NFL action, for Sunday NFL action, for Monday NFL action, and the entire season itself. We have waited months on end. Do you remember the last time you were sitting back and watching the Super Bowl going like, oh my goodness, this game is close. It's down to the end. Kansas City won. What am I going to do with myself in March, in April, May, June, July, August, and finally, we are here in September for game number one, which starts us off in the 7-7. Of course it does. It's Kansas City, and it's the Baltimore Ravens, and we're ready to do battle tonight from Arrowhead. If we're looking at the lines tonight, it's roughly a field goal favorite for Kansas City. If you're looking at the total, it's in the mid-40s here. The FanDuel Sportsbook has so many options for us to wager on tonight. Game specials. Oh, where have you been all my life? I missed you over the past couple months here. So the excitement level starts right away, and the NFL always delivers. Could we have a better matchup here? We just saw these two teams in the AFC Championship game in Baltimore, and my goodness, I thought the Baltimore Ravens would win that game. I thought the Baltimore Ravens would win the Super Bowl. They didn't make it there. As long as they run the football tonight, certainly they're going to be competitive, and we will break that game down and much, much more tonight. But also, other big news in the 7-7 on topics, and that includes Ja'Marr Chase. And as we like to say, the saga continues. Why? Because he showed up to practice yesterday. He was in pads. He was running routes. He was looking phenomenal. But he also said at the end of practice, you know what? Not going to speak to the media just yet here. I'll let it be known at the end of the week. So is this a power trip? And if we do break down the Ja'Marr Chase scenario overall, right? Here's what we're looking at. Is he happy to play football under $1 million base salary this year? Absolutely not. He has sat out the entirety of the offseason, which included OTAs, mandatory and non-mandatory, and then into training camp, having basically a stay-in at this point, being I'll show up at the facility because I don't want to get fined. Because quite frankly, if you're fined $50,000 there, whatever it is, if you're only making $1 million this year, that is really going to cut in to the payment that you have. But also keep in mind, there's no way that Ja'Marr Chase sat out the OTAs, the offseason, the free agency period, and all the way through training camp only to tell us, you know what? Mike Brown, you called my bluff here. I'm going to line up here day number one, game number one, and play the season happily under my $1 million salary. That's never going to happen at this point because I'm still waiting. Do the right thing, Mike Brown. This guy is showing you that he's showing up to camp now. He wants to play, wants to participate. Joe Burrow said it was wonderful to get him back into the fold. And you're not going to pay him? I don't know if he shows up against the New England Patriots. And let's just say if he does sit out here against the New England Patriots. And then next week, the Kansas City Chiefs are on deck in a massive football game in the AFC. Pay the man. Pay him right now. Let me get back on board with the Cincinnati Bengals, and I'll be certainly excited to do that. All right, let's flip it back over to Major League Baseball yesterday. How about those Chicago Cubs? 12 runs yesterday. You took a look at the last 2 to 3 weeks of that Cubs offense. It feels like they were religiously over 10 runs. They win yesterday 12-0. The Cubs pounded out 17 total hits. Flip it over to the Pirates. They didn't score yesterday. The Pittsburgh Pirates, they didn't get a hit yesterday. So if we take a look at the pitching matchup in this game, Shota Imanaga obviously was fantastic. He goes 7 innings pitched, no runs, no hits in that game. Did have 2 walks. So wasn't perfect through those 7 innings, but chipped in with 7 strikeouts, lower his ERA now to 2.99. He's under 3 for the season. You also had Pearson and Hodge come in the 8th and 9th innings to shut it down as a nice no-hitter for the Chicago Cubs and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Why do we watch that football team outside of Skeens Day? I have no idea. But how about this? The New York Metropolitans just keep on riding that streak. This baseball team is absolutely red hot and at the same time dousing everything for the Red Sox of trying to get into the playoffs. The Mets won yesterday 8-3 overall. I told you about this before, too. Tanner Houck wasn't terrible yesterday, guys. 5 innings pitched, 4 earned runs. Not good enough to win? Obviously not. They lost a game 8-3. But this is one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball throughout April, May, and June that has been leaking oil as of late. The Mets took advantage of that, played 8 runs. Francisco Lindor, another solid night, leading off 2-for-5, raising his batting average to just short of .275. Brandon Nimmo chips in. Vientos, and as well, Jesse Winker, 4 RBIs last night, which included a home run. He was absolutely tremendous. And how about the U.S. Open in tennis yesterday? Upsets abound all the way through. How about Pegula shocking Swiatek yesterday on the women's side? Is this possible? Could we get a women's champion from the United States and a men's champion from the United States? It could happen. Sinner beats Medvedev yesterday. The action certainly hot over there in Flushing Meadows, and we are going to crown champions, as just said. Would it be crazy to have Americans to root for on both sides here and both winning in the finals? Something to watch out for here, and certainly the Sports Grid Network has you covered on everything tennis to keep you up to date there. If we're taking a look at Caitlin Clark last night, oh my goodness. A triple-double. Was it 20? I don't have the line in front of me. I think it was 24, 10, and 10. And if you watch that game, securing that final rebound, basically on the final possession of the game, her second triple-double of the year, and the Fever win once again. You're looking at this team also. Opening the season, not a lot to cheer for outside of Caitlin Clark taking her lumps here. There was even thoughts coming on here. And also, we have JY on the network multiple times and asking him questions. Is this the right coach and the right situation for the Fever here and Caitlin Clark? And apparently it wasn't over the first couple weeks. This team is one of the better teams in the WNBA right now. And is anybody, if you line up in the postseason, going to want to tangle with the Fever at this point? I don't think so here. Caitlin Clark has been nothing short of sensational, quite frankly. If this season maybe went for another month, could she maybe make way in that MVP race with Asia Wilson of the Aces here? Maybe not, but she is playing that good of basketball right now. Rookie of the year, no doubt about it. One of the best players in the WNBA. Absolutely people. And how about this one next? PGA versus LIV. Do you know what that means? That's the two factions. It was like back in the day when I was in college, the NWO going up against the WCW at this point. Two rival factions that hate each other going toe-to-toe. And maybe the best way to figure out who is going to have that supremacy would be to getting together on the golf, having a golf match in December. We've watched it in the past multiple times. And early on, it was pretty good. Do you remember Phil Mickelson versus Tiger Woods? A lot of money up for grabs. Yeah, we watched it. They tried to do a pay-per-view on that. It didn't work. It crashed. They gave everybody their money back and basically let you view that for free. It's come a long way now, but actually, this is pretty intriguing. Like, I didn't enjoy the matches where he just said, hey, throw an NFL you know, player out there. Throw an NBA player out there. Stop the madness. Give me the best golfers in the world with something on the line that I can dig my teeth into here in the month of September. And that's Rory and Scotty that are going to be holding it down for the PGA. Scotty, the best golfer on the planet. Rory McIlroy was actually having a pretty good season up to the end here, going up against here Brooks and Bryson, two of the brightest there on the LIV Golf Tour. I actually think, for the first time in a long time, this is the right move here. This is one of those intriguing matches that I might tune into in the thick of football season. Over the past five or six The Matches, I had no interest whatsoever, didn't care where they were playing or who was actually playing. But you give me Rory and Scotty versus Brooks and Bryson to set that December matchup here to say which tour is the best tour here, PGA or LIV Golf Tour, I think I might be in on that. But you know what else I'm into here? The Sports Grid Network, the early line. It's rocking and rolling, 3 hours ready to go, breaking down everything you need to know for tonight's NFL Titanic battle. Chiefs, Ravens, let's do it all right here on the Sports Grid Network. We'll be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I am here, I promise you, and I am excited to be back early line, or at least maybe I thought I was. Donnie Wrightside, if you can hear me. Please.
Yeah, I can hear you. Here's what we need to do back then. Just give Ben a phoner at this point. We'll have some fun because as long as we can hear him, we are also on radio, Sirius XM channel 159. So I'm sure the people watching love to get a look at my face here, a face for radio on TV, and I'll be more than happy to do that. But I think we could still include BSS here on the show to have some fun. So Ken, in the back, can we use Ben's voice at least at this point? Or no? Is that out of the standards right now? All right, let's get it moving here. Now, granted, we're going to talk some Major League Baseball right now, but I understand we are all geeked up and we are ready for NFL action. We're going to get to that later, but let's just take a look at what happened during the baseball season last night and a lot of big doings across the league, which included the New York Mets in their 8-3 victory over the Boston Red Sox. The New York Mets now have improved to 76-64. The only issue right now with the New York Mets continue to win, the Phillies continue to win, and the Atlanta Braves as well. But you still have to keep pace and beat teams that theoretically are still trying to find themselves in a playoff run. That's the Boston Red Sox now. It's 70-70. We don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but still playing their starters, and they do have a talented lineup. If you're taking a look at the game last night, once again, whether it was on the early line yesterday or a money line, talking about Houck on the mound here for the Boston Red Sox, drops to 8-10 on the season. This was one of those guys that was such a surprise to start the year and was so good for the Red Sox that we thought when the Red Sox started out slow, Houck was that bright spot. So you know what? If Houck can continue to pitch really well and be the ace of that staff, who knows? As that Boston Red Sox lineup got hot over the summer, but now starting to cool off in that 8-3 loss yesterday. Five innings pitched, four earned runs, 84 pitches. And if you take a look, even though he did get rocked a bit yesterday, you see how well his season actually was going. He's still only at a 3.24 ERA in the American League, which is pretty solid. But that also means he had been struggling over the past 60 days, which showed you how good he was actually to start the season. Tyler McGill, the mound for the New York Mets, kept you in it. Four innings pitched, three earned runs, but the bullpen is who gave way here for the Red Sox. And also, one of those guys in the past that you would have figured is one of the better closers slash relievers in Major League Baseball, it was Kenley Jansen. A third of an innings pitch, guys, four hits, and also four earned runs. Wait, let me check that. One hit, four runs, all four earned, three walks. You can't do that over 28 pitches and keep your team in the game. But shout out the New York Mets once again as we talk about Francisco Lindor. Expectations for Lindor coming over from the Guardians, sky high for the Mets. Maybe he wasn't living up to those expectations. He's been nothing short of phenomenal for the finer parts of this season. Beginning of the season, not hitting all that well. Now up to close to 275. His actual exact batting average right now, guys, a 274 after going 2-5 last night, being that leadoff catalyst that you love to see. The New York Mets have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs. You continue to win baseball games. Don't even need the scoreboard watch. Handle your own business because they have multiple games with the Atlanta Braves and also with the Philadelphia Phillies where they can do damage in head-to-head and see, certainly, if they can hold off teams behind them, which we think they will, but also the teams ahead of them, right, and directly ahead of them, that is the Atlanta Braves, who once again picked up a victory. Now, keep in mind also, you're supposed to beat the Colorado Rockies outside of Colorado, guys, right? Look at the Rockies now, 51-89 on the season, completely dead in the water, it seems, outside of Coors. The Atlanta Braves, with that victory 5-2, now get their 76th win of the season. Don't think they're going to be able to track down the Philadelphia Phillies, but they got to hold on tight here to hold off the New York Mets. If you looked at the pitching matchups yesterday, Blaylock was one of my worst pitchers on the card. I believe that 26 pitchers rated. He was in the bottom five, and he certainly, guys, did not disappoint yesterday. Five innings pitched, four earned runs, six walks. You cannot have six walks over five innings and expect to escape here with the victory, and he certainly did not. You take a look at Morton, one of those guys that just seems like he's ageless on the mound, was great yesterday, 8-7 now on the season, five innings pitched, two earned runs, eight strikeouts. That is all you need to go up against the Colorado Rockies to handle their business. Some guys at the plate yesterday chipping in with RBI, Jorge Soler, and also Matt Olson. I had three guys picked out in this game yesterday to record RBI. One of those guys was Soler, got it. One of those guys was Ozuna, who missed out. And one of those guys was Matt Olson. So it was a pretty good game all the way through. But yet again, the stance here. The NL East continues to do damage here over the past couple weeks. The Phillies, that were in the dumpster for a while, it felt like, now back to their winning ways. The Atlanta Braves here, back to their winning ways. And also the New York Mets, who were thought to be, you know what, probably going to be out of this. Not our year. Let's rebuild. Are we going to sign Pete Alonso in the offseason? No longer the case. This team is playing as good a baseball as anybody in Major League Baseball right now. Some of the other scores across the Major League Baseball landscape, you take a look at the West Coast yesterday, the San Diego Padres eke one out over the Tigers, 6-5. Pitching matchup yesterday, Keiter Montero, one of those guys that actually been decent in some starts, poor in other starts. He was poor yesterday. 4 1/3 innings pitched, five earned runs, gave up a home run and had two walks here. Yu Darvish. Now, here's the reason why we brought this game up yesterday and thought it was so significant. If Darvish gets back to the mound for the Padres in any way, shape, or form that he's looked over the past, let's just say, decade of his career, what a shot in the arm that could be for the Padres. But you saw yesterday, 2 2/3 innings pitched, three earned runs giving up, only four strikeouts, and gave up a home run. That's something that you might want to say to yourself, okay, it's a good start here. At least he was back, and maybe he wasn't injured on the mound. But boy, you would have felt a lot better, right, if he was on a pitch count, let's just say between 60 to 70 pitches, went four innings, only a couple hits and no earned runs giving up. But 2 2/3 innings pitched, three earned runs, certainly not good enough. And the late night capper last night, which I told you, made my favorite lineup last night for a team total, it was the Arizona Diamondbacks. They got a victory 6-4 over the San Francisco Giants. Pitching matchup yesterday, I wanted to get after Birdsong. Three innings pitched here, two earned runs, five walks. Once again, you're not going to be able to escape a Major League Baseball game and being a starter, giving up five walks over the first three innings. You take a look at Zach Gallen, who was the better pitcher coming into the game yesterday. Sensational. Six innings pitched, no hits, no runs here. Did have four walks and eight strikeouts through 100 pitches. So the Diamondbacks are looking to make the playoffs. Zach Gallen's going to be a big deal in the playoffs if they do get there. There's no reason to let him throw 125 pitches to try to get a no-hitter against the San Francisco Giants. The Snakes hang on in that game to win 6-4. So that West out there, which the Los Angeles Dodgers will get to a little bit later, they took a loss yesterday, but now you're seeing the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Padres pick up victories to try to get a little bit closer to the Los Angeles Dodgers. As we say, football season is here. It's September. College football and the NFL are going to take center stage. Don't leave out Major League Baseball, people. It can still be profitable. Much more to go here on the Early Line, Thursday morning football edition, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in full effect. I understand that Ben Steven is back. Ben Stevens is back there, but he's actually getting his wagers in on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. And there's so many and so much excitement tonight that it's taking just a little bit longer to get back on the air. We'll have Ben back shortly. But also, keep in mind on today's show, the guests do include Mark Zinno, the mouth in the South, as well as Craig Mission, also Tom Vecchio. So we got an action-packed show with a ton of guests coming up to make sure every single angle is covered for you in the NFL tonight, tomorrow, this weekend. College football, we do have you on the right side. But it's Donnie and Ben here in the morning on the Early Line. Let's continue with Major League Baseball. What happened yesterday, which included Cleveland and Kansas City? Oh, my goodness. Did you see the final score? The Royals, 4. The Guardians, 1. They have broken through. The streak of 7 has been snapped. The 76th win of the year It's for the Kansas City Royals staying in that wild card race. If the season ended today, they would be in the playoffs. And yesterday on the mound, when you needed it, Seth Lugo, who was so good early to start this season. Did you know he actually improved with his 15th win yesterday? He's 15-8 overall. 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts, 103 pitches. The bullpen came in and was fantastic to hold it down. On the opposite side, I didn't think Lively was that great. He was just out of my bottom 5 yesterday, but I did decide to say, you know what? If I think we can get RBI props here out of 2 guys tonight, I thought it would be Melendez, which he went 0-for-3. But how about this? Coming up big for me also, Michael Massey goes 1-for-3 with an RBI, cashing in the ticket there, flipping it over to the other side with Lively on the mound. 4 innings pitched, 7 hits, 4 earned runs, not good enough, over 78 pitches. The Guardians will be fine. The Guardians are going to make the playoffs, but the Kansas City Royals were so, so close to just teetering on the edge where every single loss you have, you go back into that locker room at night and say to yourselves, guys, the pressure is just building here. We got to get a win, which means you start to do things not necessarily you want to do at the plate, trying to break out of the slump, hit home runs as opposed to putting the baseball in play. Pitchers on the mound figure they have to be absolutely perfect in order to pick up victories here with a struggling team. Good to see they got that victory. And if we're looking at the Minnesota Twins also in that same division, they lost yesterday to the Rays 9-4. So if we take a look at that game, Minnesota now also with 75 wins. Tampa Bay still under 500 at a 69-70 number. The pitching matchups yesterday, Sulzer came in basically as an opener in this game. 2 innings pitched, 1 hit he gave up, 37 total pitches, did his job. Henriquez also an opener there for the Minnesota Twins. 1 innings pitched there, did his job as an opener. But also Tampa Bay knocking in 9 runs off of 9 hits yesterday, doing the damage at the plate here. It was Diaz leading off. He did hit a home run by going 2-for-4. You flip it over to the Minnesota Twins, who plated 4 runs. You actually had the leadoff position there, Santana. 1-for-3, but 2 RBIs, which included that home run and 2 walks here across the Major League Baseball slate yesterday. Some disappointing outcomes for me. Taking a look at RBI props, the White Sox 8-1 over the Orioles, which is shocking because nobody ever thinks the White Sox are ever going to win a game again. And Jonathan Cannon was actually in my bottom 5 yesterday with xFIP numbers over the past 60 days. He goes 5 2/3 innings pitched, does give up 5 hits, but how about this? Only 1 earned run yesterday through 95 pitches, and a bullpen that has been so bad this year for the White Sox holds it down. You take a look at Ellard, Varland, and Anderson. Neither one of those guys gave up an earned run yesterday, and an easy win for the White Sox. On the Baltimore Orioles side, Suarez was on the mound, now drops to 7-5 on the season. Had a solid ERA coming in, but he got damaged yesterday by a bad lineup. 4 1/3 innings pitched, 6 earned runs overall, and that was all they needed. Now, Perez was in late in that game, 1 innings pitched, 2 earned runs late, but that game, for all intents and purposes, was done. And that's a shocking total when you look to say, you're supposed to beat the White Sox. I don't care. Hey, a sweep in the series? Yeah, it's not usually expected. Against the White Sox, typically it is absolutely expected as you go across. The Cardinals and the Brewers fighting for one of those top 2 spots here in the National League come playoff time. In order to get a bye, that game yesterday, 3-2 in 10 innings, the Cardinals up and the Brewers. The Rangers, who, look, they're putting guys like Corey Seager on the IL. They're waving the white flag and still beating the New York Yankees as they did yesterday, 10-6 in that game. Nathan Eovaldi picks up the victory here for the Rangers. The loss goes on to Marcus Stroman, and another surprising effort here. Taylor Ward and the boys, who Taylor Ward has now homered in 3 straight ball games, they easily dispatch of the Los Angeles Dodgers in their quote-unquote Subway Series out there. 10-1. And also, looking at the matchups here, Griffin Canning, he improved to 5-12 on the season. I thought he would get hammered by multiple guys in that lineup for the Dodgers. It didn't happen. They only got 6 hits and 1 run as they got absolutely paced. How about out there late night in Oakland? A game that I actually thought would go under. Yeah, they scored 19 runs yesterday. The Mariners 16, the Athletics 3. Absolutely ridiculous in Major League Baseball. But tonight is the night. Opening night in Kansas City. It's time to talk about NFL action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Are you ready for Thursday night football? How long have we been talking about this game tonight between the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs? It's been months and months on end. And I do want to look at this game where I believe the Ravens want to exact revenge. Last year was all on the table. Let's go through that 2023 season overall. The one thing we knew about the Kansas City Chiefs, they always had Patrick Mahomes. They were always going to be a threat, but they had their struggles during the season. We always thought they would win the division, but what's the always the argument? And if you take it all the way back to those New England Patriots days, guys, what was it? They're going to get easy wins in their division. They have Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks in the history of professional sports here, that you're going to get an easy 5 to 6 wins. Then you're going to win a handful of games outside of your division, and you're going to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs in New England. Good luck beating Tom Brady and the Patriots. Now, granted, there were scenarios where Tom Brady went on the road and still won a Super Bowl through the AFC path. I understand that. But the one thing you never want to see is it just seems like it's a rite of passage for Kansas City to be in the AFC championship game and that AFC championship game to be at home at Arrowhead. Last year, you said, you know what? Kansas City isn't as talented on offense as they were the past couple years. This is the year to get them. They no longer have the number one overall seed, which meant they're going to have to go on the road in the divisional round and the AFC championship round and beat two unbelievably talented quality opponents before they even can get to the Super Bowl if they won against a team in the NFC that we probably all thought would be the San Francisco 49ers, and it was. We watched Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs go into Buffalo and beat the Buffalo Bills. And I said to myself, that's pretty impressive there. I thought the Buffalo Bills probably would be able to beat them. But I know in my heart that following week, the Baltimore Ravens, who to me were the best overall team in football, would finally be able to exact revenge on the Kansas City Chiefs and knock them out on their way to a Super Bowl championship. I can't remember a time in my betting history. And again, fandom, we've all been destroyed and crushed, right? Worst loss I've ever watched in my life live was the 2002 NFC Championship game, last game at Veterans Stadium against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where I still think Rondé Barber's running down the field with an interception, crushing my hopes and dreams. But that was as a fan here. I thought the Eagles would win the championship that year. They didn't. But watching and betting Baltimore from day one, saying this is going to be my Super Bowl team, and have them play so well throughout the remaining parts of the regular season, hammering the San Francisco 49ers, having the number one overall seed, I said this is the game they're going to pound the Kansas City Chiefs. And they came in that with one of the worst offensive game plans I've ever seen from an NFL team, getting away from their strengths, which allowed the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce to win that football game and move on into the Super Bowl. And we know what happened there. Close game, late. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I believe that game did go to overtime with a victory there for the Chiefs. A phenomenal Super Bowl overall, which brings us again to opening night. So what are we going to get out of the Baltimore Ravens in this game? We also saw last year, hey, you're never going to beat a team on ring night in their own building. No, we saw the Detroit Lions go in there and handle the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, was it because of a couple drop passes by certain players? You probably could figure that in. Chris Jones sitting out in the stands and watching that game. Yeah, he's going to be in uniform tonight, ready to go. But I'm just looking forward to saying, if Baltimore can get back to the basics, there's no reason to believe they can't win this game. If you look at the lines here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, they opened up as a -2.5-point favorite towards Kansas City. Across the board, which includes the FanDuel Sportsbook, that line now sits at 3, and I think that's a pretty fair line. For the total here in New Jersey on the FanDuel Sportsbook, opened up at 46.5. Today in New Jersey, it still sits at 46.5. Other outlets have moved those numbers higher to 47s. We're going against, look, and I understand Kansas City, the strength of that team is never the defense, but Steve Spagnuolo, one of the single best coordinators in the NFL, always has some great things to offer. And also keep in mind, it's game number one. You know as well as I do, both of these football teams circled this game the minute the calendar came out and got ready installing processes to try to stop Lamar Jackson and also to try to stop Patrick Mahomes. I think that could play into it. It is hard, however, to say you want an under in a game with regular season Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Both of these quarterbacks at the end of the season, if healthy, will probably be in that 1, 2, and 3 in MVP voting. So the question is going to be tonight, who is going to be fresher? The thing that I really like about this game as well, thinking back in the offseason, you have to sort of like the edge that the Ravens are going to have coming in tonight, because they were embarrassed at home and all their dreams were shattered, only to see Kansas City win their second straight Super Bowl title, now on the road to possibly win 3 in a row. The thing I do get a kick out of here is Lamar Jackson in the offseason. We know he is the single most dynamic quarterback in the NFL. That's not even up for debate. And he lost a couple pounds to get even quicker on the season starts. Because if you look at some of the prop bets tonight on Lamar Jackson, they're pretty fair. 217.5 passing yards. You take a look at the passing touchdowns, of course, listed at 1.5. I think he can get both of those, but I love that rushing prop. And also keep in mind at the FanDuel Sportsbook earlier in this week, that rushing prop for Lamar Jackson tonight was sitting at 46.5. That's now up to 48.5, and other outlets even close to 50 rushing yards. To me, sometimes you look at it and say, it's going to be a long NFL season. I need my guys to stay healthy. So in weeks 9, 10, and 11, instead of on 3rd and 7, selling out to get that first down, maybe I run out of bounds after 5 yards, live to fight another day. It doesn't feel like it's one of those environments tonight at Arrowhead. It feels like a Super Bowl berth is on the line, despite it only being week 1. So you look at Patrick Mahomes on the other side. We always call this as well. And Kevin and Joe, we do the Pro Football Today football show on Sunday mornings, and certainly we'll be doing some action on Monday and Thursday during the games itself. We always talk about Patrick Mahomes as what? He's a big game runner. You don't think of Patrick Mahomes as being one of the best runners in football, but my goodness, I mean, anybody see it firsthand against the Philadelphia Eagles in their Super Bowl final drive of the game on a hobbled high ankle sprain, sprinting 20 to 30 yards downfield here? He's one of the best big-time scramblers out there. So you look at his rushing prop tonight at 20.5. I think both of these quarterbacks legitimately should go over their rushing props. And again, we're not even talking about running back position. We're talking about the quarterback position going over those rushing props. But also, you see the passing touchdowns. And the juice varies between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. We do know that. But looking at last year's Kansas City team, where were they devoid of talent overall, right? You just leaned on a rookie in Rashee Rice saying, be our savior at the wide receiver position. And he did a pretty good job at doing that. Now coming back for his second season, it doesn't look like he's going to be suspended this year, so he should be the go-to guy. But also adding Xavier Worthy in the draft, that true deep threat that you have been basically lacking. And I understand, like, hey, Donnie, do you remember MVS? He was at, yeah, MVS was fast, basically couldn't catch. And if he caught 15 yards worth of passes in a game, it seemed like that was a massive success for the Kansas City Chiefs. But now you add Worthy to the outside. You got Rashee Rice that's going to be working that slot position. You also have Marquise Brown, who's injured and should be back shortly in the month of September, as a formidable wide receiving core that is much better, guys, than what we saw last year. Travis Kelce in his mid-30s. The one thing that you do know about football players, typically, most of the time, you don't start the season injured, right? As the season goes on, you might say, boy, it looks like that guy lost a step. Why? Because he's a 35-year-old skilled position player. We're talking about Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends, if not the best ever to do it. You expect him to be on his game tonight, but don't leave this one out. I know we'll get to some more prop bets a little bit later, but I'm just setting up the game plan here, which I do think will be effective. The 12 formation here for the Baltimore Ravens. If you're new to NFL football, just don't know that jargon. It just means two tight end sets. If you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, they got two solid tight ends, but maybe the best tight end duo in football, I think it resides in Baltimore. Now, Mark Andrews last year had a devastating leg injury, missed the remaining parts of the season, tried to hobble back at the end, and it didn't work out in his favor. But if you get him healthy tonight, Andrews, along with Isaiah Likely, that 12 formation with those two tight ends on the football field, they can do a lot of damage. Because the one thing I don't love is the wide receiving core here for the Baltimore Ravens. Rashad Bateman, former first-round draft pick, hasn't lived up to the hype. I did like what I saw last year out of Zay Flowers, and I think he can take that next step. And by the way, you know he's chomping at the bit to get after this Kansas City team, because do you remember the pivotal game in the AFC Championship game? Excuse me, pivotal play in the AFC Championship game last year? It was Zay Flowers diving into the end zone. Should have been a touchdown. Ended up being a fumble. And that was basically game, set, match right there with all that momentum flying out the window. So a lot of players have a lot to prove, but maybe none bigger than just the offensive scheme of the Baltimore Ravens as they try to attack the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm telling you right now, look out for Lively tonight and also look out for Mark Andrews. I think they can do a lot of damage. And oh yeah, there's still Derrick Henry. There's still Isaiah Pacheco. There's still a lot more to talk about in this game. And we're excited to talk about it right here on the Early Line. Donnie Wrightside, Ben Stevens. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, Thursday Night Football right here on the Early Line, cracking into it, having some fun. And I understand, it feels like we've been talking about this game for months on end, but doesn't it just feel more refreshing when you're talking about the morning of the game? So many opportunities. And I always say this, each and every year on opening night, Now, granted, I love college football. You know me. I enjoyed my Miami Hurricanes over the weekend, wasting the Florida Gators. And I might have an interesting season to watch on a collegiate level from a fan perspective. But I always like to remember these moments. And no, not because Ben Stevens isn't here at this point and I'm running a solo show right now. I like to remember this because I know that pretty soon you're going to say to yourself, boy, it's already week 5. Wow, how did it get to week 8? Oh, the playoffs are here. How exciting. Oh, no, we only have 4 games left in the regular season. Oh, no, it's the playoffs. Oh, it's the Super Bowl. And what am I going to do? Let's break out the brackets here for March Madness. So enjoy this time, the fun of the day before the season. And also, guys, if you're in Survivor contests out there, right, you're trying to line up who you're going to pick this week, the most dangerous week of the entire season. And if everybody is loaded up on those Cincinnati Bengals this weekend, and if for some reason Ja'Marr Chase doesn't show up and you get a great defensive effort out of the New England Patriots, everybody's pools will be up in smoke. Fantasy seasons, people lining up and analyzing their rosters all week long, only to probably second-guess themselves and make the wrong decisions. How many times have you done that, by the way, in your fantasy, guys? You have on Sunday morning, like, you know what? I'm going to sit this wide receiver. I'm going to play another wide receiver. Dude on the bench goes off, 6 catches, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns. Your starter gets injured in the first quarter. Why did I just start that guy? So that fun is always here and the anticipation coming into it. But also, sometimes just taking a look at the rosters themselves, because I always say this too. The first 2 weeks of the season by far are the toughest 2 weeks in professional sports. The reason being is, yes, you are going to improve a lot between weeks 1 and weeks 2. Primarily, we always talk about that, like high school and college football, like, hey, dress rehearsal out there. These are professional athletes, so it is a little bit different. But we are going to have so many overreactions once we get to next Tuesday when every one of these games is to be completed, saying this team stinks, this team is great, only to find out in week number 2, hey, this team isn't as good as we thought they were, and this team nearly isn't as bad as they thought they were. But week 1 surprises are going to be absolutely tremendous. If we're looking at the game itself tonight, though, right, superstars all over the field. We already talked about Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. But from a betting standpoint, sometimes you get a little bit nervous, right, because back in the day, as we like to say, and we had Sean Alexander on the air with us a little bit earlier this week, and we were talking about, you know, how great a running back he was in the fantasy ranks. And just because he was the last, it felt like, of those true three-down backs that could carry the football 30-plus times a game with ease and also still do all the third-down capabilities, like picking up the blitz and catching the football out of the backfield. The reason I bring that up is, if you're looking at Derrick Henry and Isaiah Pacheco, you might say to yourself, oh, I wonder who the backup running back are and how much gas will they have in the tank here for game number 1. 65.5 yards is the prop for Derrick Henry. 61.5 yards is the prop for Isaiah Pacheco. Legitimately, I think they both have a great chance to go over that. But primarily, Derrick Henry, he's never going to be as healthy and as excited as he is going to be in game number 1. Number 2, isn't the way you attack the Kansas City Chiefs not necessarily by taking a look at throwing dart after dart down the field? You saw well that worked for you in the AFC Championship game. And Ben, I'm just going over Derrick Henry's stuff here tonight. I expect big things from him tonight, and I would be surprised if he doesn't get 20 carries tonight.
DRS, where do we leave off, my friend? Kudos to you for 48 straight minutes. I think we're still good. I hope we're still good. Yeah, we're still here. Okay, we're ready to go. I think we are set. Derrick Henry in his debut against Kansas City. DRS, we have often talked about if there is a blueprint. In the 6 seasons that Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback in Kansas City, of finding a way to consistently compete and then beat the Chiefs. I'm not so sure there is one. Natural thought would be slow down the game, run it on offense, tighten up the clock, and keep the ball out of 15's hands in red. I'm not entirely sure. I do think Todd Monken probably learned from what he did in the AFC Championship game in Baltimore last January to try to maybe establish the run a little bit more than possible. But there would see that recipe with Lamar Jackson being 12-2 against the spread when booked as an underdog, the Flock a very good underdog team, and now you add in Derrick Henry in the backfield, you would expect a lot of ground attack tonight for the Flock.
Yeah, because you're looking at Justice Hill, who, again, is a capable backup, and then Rasheen Ali, who actually has been banged up in practice, not even sure he's going to be able to go tonight. So you would figure that the bulk of the carries are going to come from Derrick Henry, rightfully so. You didn't go out and get this guy, Ben, and say, you know what, let's ease you into the season. No big deal if you get 10 carries tonight if we needed you and we lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. This game feels so much more important because at the end of the season, this is going to be a massive tiebreaker game that you want to win this so you can ensure that you might have home field advantage in your building. rebuilding depending on who wins. And the same thing, Ben, goes for the Kansas City Chiefs as well. Look at their running back situation. You take a look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's not going to play for the first four games. That was a former first-round draft pick. You figure could be able to get some carries. Now you take a look here at Isaiah Pacheco. Samaje Perine, okay, how many carries and plays is he going to steal? Carson Steele, how many plays is he going to take away from Isaiah Pacheco? So this might be one of the better looks on opening night for starting running backs that you're going to find this weekend, where you expect the bulk of the carries and no surprises coming from Derrick Henry and Isaiah Pacheco.
You know, I do wonder, DRS, about the rushing attempts prop for both of these backs. When you look at Derrick Henry, he turned 30 in January. Normally, that's when running backs fall off, but thus he is referred to as the king. Last year, still led the National Football League as a member of the Titans with 280 carries and finished second in rushing yardage with 1,167. He went over this number of 65 and a hook in eight games last year for the Titans. In seven of the eight, he had at least 17 rushing attempts, which would also then correlate to the over of the attempts prop. That might be an area I look in terms of that output against KC. And let's not forget, the Chiefs were a very good defense last year. When the offensive woes were really plaguing Kansas City throughout much of the regular season, it was the defense, first and foremost, that stepped up under Steve Spagnuolo, which is not often the case, DRS. When the Chiefs won Super Bowls and appeared in the AFC Championship in years past, it was a defense that improved throughout the year, certainly by postseason time. Last year, Kansas City's D led the way.
Yeah, it was. And also, Steve Spagnuolo, one of the best defensive coordinators in football, you do lose that one corner, but they're not vulnerable in that secondary. I think they're vulnerable up the middle and also at the linebacker position, so something to keep an eye on. But a great game to talk about. So many angles from so many certain directions here, Ben.
And we'll look at the outlook for both of these teams. Will they find themselves in an AFC title game again? Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The first game of the 2024 NFL season was one of the final in 2023, the AFC Championship game in Baltimore. The Chiefs, as a 4.5-point underdog, go into the Charm City and knock off Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, winning outright in that football game to appear in their fourth Super Bowl in the last 6 years and a second consecutive Lombardi Trophy. In the last football game, or one of the final football games of last year, is our start to this year, where we expect the end of 2024's NFL campaign, DRS, both the Ravens and the Chiefs will be contending for a conference crown once again. Kansas City has the highest win total entering 2024 around the National Football League. 11.5 is the number. The over has the juice. And you might be thinking to yourself, oh boy, that's a little steep. Last year, an 11-6 KC team was the first of the full six seasons that Mahomes has been the starter inside Arrowhead that the Chiefs did not go over 11.5, winning at least 12 regular season games. That was the weird thing about last season. It was the first to buck a couple of trends for the Chiefs. The first time they won 11 games or less. The first time they played in the AFC title game, but not in Kansas City. And yet, the Chiefs still ended up winning a Super Bowl. Let's start with KC. Your outlook for the Chiefs this year, DRS, is what?
Super Bowl. It's all that. Isn't that what it always is, Ben? Like, I just got done talking about how many times it's their rite of passage to host the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead every year. They didn't even get to do that last year. It didn't matter. They still went to the Super Bowl and then beat who I thought was a much more talented than they were team. Because why? It's Patrick Mahomes. So I ask you this question. And there were times, Ben, last year during the season where I started to say, ooh, look at that. Travis Kelce is really slowing down a bit here. Maybe lost a step, maybe lost a step and a half. Then looking like he's the greatest tight end in the world throughout that playoff run. So nothing is real sometimes with Kansas City. So you're not supposed to do this. I've explained this multiple times. Oh, my goodness. To that Patrick Mahomes, I don't care who else is on the field. I don't care if their offensive line stinks, their wide receiving core is bad. But it just feels that way, right? Same way with Tom Brady. Yep. Hey, he doesn't have that many weapons here. So what? It's Tom Brady. He just makes things happen, and that's what you find with Patrick Mahomes. So even if they lose this game on opening night, and even last year, Ben, the struggles right around midseason for the Chiefs, ooh, they're not the same team they were. somehow Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, if they're healthy in the playoffs, just hell on wheels out there. They don't care where they play, who they play, or who they have available on their own team to use in that game. So I see to myself and see those totals. Yeah, they should be a 12-win football team. They should win the division, Ben. They should have home field advantage in the AFC playoffs, and who's going to be able to knock them out in Arrowhead? Not very many teams can do that. So I look at myself and say, start to the season, chalky, don't care. Kansas City, the best team in the NFL for me.
And Donnie, you would expect a team that is repeated as a Super Bowl champ to have then a very difficult schedule. Marquee games in prime time chalked up throughout the entirety of the slate. But the AFC West, not expected to be nearly as good as at least the expectation was the past three, four, five NFL seasons. KC actually enters this year with the 10th easiest schedule in the National Football League. The 10th most difficult, that is Baltimore. They play in the most difficult division, that's the AFC North. Lamar Jackson has been the starter for the Ravens in large part for the last five seasons around the National Football League. 10.5 the win total for the flock. The over has the juice. They're a slight favorite to win the AFC North for a second straight season. In those five seasons with Lamar Jackson, DRS, over 10.5 in three of the five. Will it be 4 out of 6?
I'm telling you, the one thing you can't do is bet against the Baltimore Ravens in the regular season if Lamar Jackson is playing quarterback. He is phenomenal, as good as it gets, and so hard to prepare for on a week-to-week basis. There's no question about that. Now, the questions do come up in the playoffs here, and it's not our fault. It's not the common, hey, Donnie and Ben are ragging on him. It's not as if he's saying, look, Lamar Jackson had 4 years in a row where he went to the playoffs, got to the Super Bowl, picked up one Super Bowl win. We would never be able to go back and say, like, oh, this guy can't perform in the playoffs. And we're not saying he's not capable of doing that. We just don't have that track record of him going out and seizing the day. He had a chance to do that in the AFC Championship game. Now, granted, fumbles at the goal line do hurt, but some terrible passes down the stretch there really go, you know what, I can't bet on this team. But if this team was in the AFC West like the Chiefs are, and you put the Chiefs in the AFC North, these would be two different scenarios as well. We'd say, oh, look at that. The 11.5 actually should be the Baltimore Ravens. The only reason they're 10.5 been in the regular season, they don't get there because catastrophic injuries, which we saw Lamar Jackson a few years ago, or they're just playing unbelievable competition on a week-to-week basis.
2-4, that is Lamar Jackson's playoff record. But when he has won the NFL MVP award twice in 2019 and last season, the Ravens have won at least 13 games. I expect Baltimore to be back to an AFC title game that I'm a little bit more skeptical of. Our 2024 NFL season pick six when hour two starts next.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.